Hey, everybody. I'm Doug Smith. As Luke mentioned at the beginning of our gathering today, it's my pleasure and opportunity to be able to share a message on this, our 80th anniversary. I'm excited to do it. But before I begin, let's just kind of deal with the elephant in the room. It's true. I've changed my glasses, and I hope you like them. They were especially for today. All right, it's not about the glasses, it's about the hair. There is no hair left. And some of you may not know, and so let me just let you know now that I'm just in the midst of chemotherapy. I have colorectal cancer, stage 4, and part of the chemotherapy is a new hairstyle, and this is what evolved. And apparently it's going to be with me or not with me for a while. So I just wanted to explain that and also let you know that it has affected my voice somewhat. And so I may be a bit crackly or gravelly, but my wife tells me that's not a bad thing. She actually thinks it's kind of sexy. So we're just gonna go with that. So again, my pleasure to be here today. I want to tell you that today's message is really all about building. It's about building. And you know, it seems that God was about building. You know, Genesis takes us through his building of the planet and his building of relationship with his people. God builds a nation through Abraham and through Moses. He saves and brings his people to a promised land where they're set up to build and to thrive. He builds the prophetic in chosen women and men, and he watches as they guide his people to build a nation under King David. And Solomon, who builds the temple. And even when through the disobedience of his people, they are separated from their nation, the Lord is still God building on his mind and in some cases rebuilding. God's desire has always been to be building good things for his people and into his people. And in this 80th anniversary year of Living Waters, we are today celebrating the building of his church and, in particular, the building of this community that we love so much. Throughout history, you know, the Lord has called on and empowered through his Spirit builders to partner with him. Nehemiah was one of those called to build, and it's his last words in his book in the Old Testament that really serve as our framework or our theme for today as we consider legacy. And those words were this: "Remember me, O my God, for good." Nehemiah, along with most of the nation of Israel, had been a part of the great exile to Babylon in 586 BC. It was almost 50 years later before the Jews, under the order of the king of Babylon, were able to begin to return to Jerusalem. And in the meantime, the completion of the temple, that happened as well. That occurred 23 years after that. But not everything was completed. Not everything. And Nehemiah, who worked in exile in the court of the Persian king Artaxerxes, he heard some disturbing news of the Jews who had returned from Jerusalem with a story. And they told him that the walls and the gates surrounding the city were in a significant place of disrepair. The walls and the gates, of course, were vital to the protection of the city and the temple, and their condition, their poor condition, really posed a threat to Jerusalem. And so the Spirit of God spoke to Nehemiah, and Nehemiah was listening. He knew exactly what he had to do, and that was to leave his safe and prestigious role with the king of Persia and return to Jerusalem and then begin to build. It was an incredible task, but gifted and led by God, Nehemiah was up for it. In fact, despite the naysayers, the plotters, and even the oppression of workers by rich Jewish men who cared more for themselves than they did about the building of the wall, Nehemiah led his people to complete the wall, got all the gates repaired, all of that in just 52 days. And even after the building was complete, there was more to do. Nehemiah set to work to build up the people, organizing the gatekeepers and appointing the Levites for temple duties. He worked alongside the prophet Ezra, who led the city to worship and to Bible instruction. And what happened was that the people were stirred in their spirit. They were stirred in their hearts. And they reaffirmed their faith and they sought a cleansing for their sins. And it was after all of this that Nehemiah wrote these powerful words, "Remember me, O my God, for good." Now, they really stand as kind of a standalone prayer at the end of his writing. Now listen, this was not a brag. This was not about saying to the Lord, "Look at me, how amazing I am, and don't forget to reward me." No, this was a hopeful prayer, and it was a humble prayer. It expressed a deep hope that the Lord would remember his work and the work of those who came alongside Nehemiah as good. Before an almighty and a holy God, Nehemiah hopes and trusts that his work has been pleasing. I think of it as a legacy prayer, because others will surely build upon what has been accomplished because the work has been for good. And I wonder today, as we look back over these past 80 years, if we might not take the prayer of this Old Testament builder and apply it to our community. Nehemiah's prayer in our context might be, "Remember us, O God, for good." It's a hopeful prayer, a humble prayer before a mighty God who made whatever good has been accomplished possible through his people. When I consider those words and legacy, I think back to our early builders, Jenny Gallardi and Lorraine Schneider, who left a healthy church in mission to bring a Pentecostal church to what was then called Langley Prairie. Now, these two women were instrumental in what was to become the early beginnings of Christian Life Assembly, just not too far from us, and two other early church plants, one in Cloverdale and the other right here in Fort Langley. And as many builders find, it wasn't always an easy work. In fact, in her book, in her own words, Jenny Gallardi writes this: "Lorraine and I opened the church in Langley Prairie, but few people attended. It couldn't be said that the arms of the people in Langley opened up to us. It seems those early days of Pentecost," she says, "the people weren't too interested in the church. There had been others who had tried to start the work and left with a debt. The Pentecostal church did not have a very good reputation. It seems as though people wanted to believe in Pentecostal fanatics, that people rolled on the floor and such." Oh, I love that. But as was the case for Nehemiah, perseverance paid off for Jenny and Lorraine, because they stuck to it. And they met the challenges that were in front of them with great faith and with determination. And they were soon joined by Phil Gallardi, who had married Jenny in 1939 with the promise of completing Bible school before he would join her in ministry here. In time, those three churches began to grow and later to thrive as they poured in faith and hope and love. And Jenny later recounts their 5 years of ministry here. This is what she says: "Over the 5 years we were in Langley, we worked very hard. Our Sundays were spent in Cloverdale in the mornings, Fort Langley in the afternoon, and Langley Prairie in the evening. We held services during the week, too, so that meant there were services almost every night." And she says this about her husband: "Phil really found his ministry when we were in Langley. The years he spent there experiencing the growth of the work and the leading of the Lord and establishing the churches was invaluable to him." Well, you know, Jenny and Phil Gallardi are officially listed as the very first pastors of Living Waters. And in those days, we went by another name, and that was Emmanuel Pentecostal Tabernacle. When they began in Fort Langley, there was no church building. And instead, what they did is they concentrated more on the building of its people. Here's what Jenny wrote: "After our Sunday morning services, which were in Cloverdale, we would go to Fort Langley, where we also opened a Pentecostal church. we visited the community and invited the people to come to church. And then she says this, many people came and found the Lord. Lorraine Schneider, Jenny, and Phil Gilardi, they were builders. They were called and gifted by God to help build his church. And you know, while there are obvious differences between Nehemiah's work and their work, there are some important similarities. They were positioned to listen, and they obeyed the Spirit when they were called by God to build. They left the comfort of their current work to begin a new assignment. And both faced and overcame challenges that threatened to even derail their work. This is true. The legacy that we enjoy today was founded in courage, in selflessness, in creative flexibility, and most importantly, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You know, over the years, there have been about 19 pastors that have answered the call to serve and to build here. First with Emmanuel Pentecostal Tabernacle, then Living Waters Assembly, and now Living Waters Church. And while pastors have provided leadership during these 8 decades, the church has found its heartbeat, as it always does, in its people. From the beginning, they were a people called to build a church whose interests went beyond brick and mortar, but to seeing people's lives transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. I think of the volunteers who constructed the original church here, right here in Glover Road, and built its frame using wood cut from our property. They were builders. And I think of Sunday school teachers who found space to teach on the lower floor of the small church that also served as a home to the pastors. It was pretty cramped. Well, Sunday school teachers spoke good life over the children. They were builders. I think of the bus driver in the 50s who drove around and picked up folks and drove them to church and back. Every mile that he clocked, he was helping to shape the kingdom. You see, he was a builder. And I think of Ken and Eunice Gilardi, who we've just heard from, who had a heart and the vision to build a larger house that would serve a growing community. They were builders, as well as those that poured the concrete and hammered the nails and erected the bell tower. They were all builders, called like you and me to make a kingdom difference. And they did. And they did. In remembering our early Living Waters family, our hopeful and our collective prayer of legacy might well be, remember us, O God, for good. Well, as I mentioned, our 80 years of history has not been without its challenges or setbacks. And if you know me, you know that I've always liked to say that the church is messy, because we're messy. And you can bet, absolutely, over 80 years of history, we've found our portion of messiness. We were and we are far from perfect. And to be sure, over the years, there has been disappointments, miscommunications, and hurts along the way. But through all of that, we have also moved forward, because other builders along the way have faced the hard things. They've done that with courage and with tenacity and with grace. Nehemiah faced many moments that could have turned setbacks into failures. He faced opposition right from the get-go. Those opposed to him did their very best to create conflict. He faced lies and threats. And at one point, Nehemiah even had to have his workers carry tools in one hand and weapons in the other in case of attack. You see, he had to develop creative workarounds to problems that might have sent others running. Through it all, you see, Nehemiah persevered. He stuck to the plan, and he made it work. where others had tried and given up because of the opposition. Lorraine Schneider and Jenny and Phil Gilardi and the strong builders that followed over the years, they also stuck to the plan, God's plan, and they made it work. Even if the work at times seemed hard or at times hopeless, it's because they understood the promise of Galatians 6:9, which says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. That's a good word for us today. So we've learned that a key principle to legacy is perseverance. It's a prerequisite, actually, to being a builder. And in following the story of Nehemiah and that of our own builders, there are some important principles that surface. I think they're important for us to reflect on. First, builders need to hear from God. It's a basic, but it's a critical starting point. And second, builders need a vision that is both clear and goes beyond their abilities. And third, they need faith to believe that they can accomplish what the vision says, even if it seems impossible. And fourth, they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because without His empowerment, nothing lasting is accomplished. The people of Living Waters were and are a people who pray, who listened, and they responded in faith. They were clearly a people who believed for something larger than themselves, and they saw it. And with the guidance and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, they tenaciously stuck to the vision that God had given them. And today, we celebrate that legacy. That legacy that was seeded so many years ago. Today we have seen and experienced the good of the build. Our church has grown from a handful in 1940 to a community today of over 1,000 strong. People have met Jesus. People have rediscovered Jesus. Dark holds have been broken by the power of Jesus. People have been healed. Lives have been transformed through the infilling of the Spirit. Grace, goodness, and hope have been discovered by so many. And listen, today there is hope, and I hope faith for more, as we humbly pray to the one who has made it all possible. Remember us, O God, for good. So let me conclude by challenging all of us to consider how we are seeding the future Living Waters legacy today. How might a rearview mirror look in 5 years or 10 years or in another 80 years? While our assignment today is not that much different than it was in 1940, and that is to love others as Jesus has loved us, our platform to launch into the next 80 years is very different. We move forward having been incredibly, incredibly blessed by the Lord. We've been blessed in the gathering of His people, gifted women, men, youth, and children, over 1,000 who form an authentic community. And while being diverse, we've been wonderfully unified. We've been blessed with church homes in Fort Langley and Willoughby that don't create walls to separate us, but rather facilitate our reaching out into the community beyond. Through His generosity, God has incredibly blessed us with resource and capacity. See, there's no question that we are a blessed people, and it is vital to remember that that blessing comes with purpose. In this, our 80th year, we are still called to be builders. While our 2020 context has changed from 1940, our principles of building legacy remain the same. In Nehemiah's days, the people found a fresh revelation of who their God was, and they recommitted themselves to Him and His ways. And so may we, in our 80th year, recommit ourselves to having and seeking a fresh revelation of God. We need, as we have always needed, a principled practice of stopping and listening and then moving forward in obedience. In these last days, as God pours out His Spirit, let us receive and refresh that baptism and embrace prophecy and dream dreams so our vision remains fresh and clear and focused. Remembering that Nehemiah not only envisioned a broken wall surrounding Jerusalem, he saw beyond it in faith to its completion and past that to the potential of its people. May we enter our 81st year as a people of great and growing faith, putting aside doubt and fear and absolutely believing for the impossible. And this, just a final word about perseverance and the pandemic. In over our 80 years of history, the people of this church, as I mentioned, have learned a lot about perseverance. Obstacles have been commonplace, roadblocks have been presented as impossibilities, and there have even been doubts about our ability to go on. Except for perseverance, obstacles can be the difference between thriving and dying. You know, after the next 80 years of Living Waters, history concludes, unless the Lord comes sooner. I'm confident that the year of the pandemic will be remembered only as an important footnote in the history of our church. I believe the story will talk about us as a people who once again persevered, that we saw beyond the pain of the pandemic and into the power of hope. We saw beyond the restrictions of our numbers and again learned that the church is not just about its building or even its large gatherings, and that small can be good and profoundly meaningful. I think in 80 years, the narrative will read that we saw beyond the isolation and creatively created authentic community that ensured that we would not be alone, and that we were confident that none of it was a surprise to Jesus, and He patiently called us on to a better thing, and we listened. We persevered because He did, because others have, and we must. As we enter our 81st year, I have the greatest hope for Living Waters. God's hand is on this community. And you've heard me say it before, there is a destiny here. He continues to have great purpose for us, for you, for you. And today, our single prayer is that of Nehemiah the builder, because we follow builders, and because we ourselves are builders, seeding the next legacy. We hopefully, faithfully, and humbly pray, remember us, O God, for good. God bless you.